This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, June 24th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. About a year ago, Jeff Bezos passed the reins of Amazon, the company he founded in his garage, to a new CEO, Andy Jassy. But it hasn't exactly been a smooth transition. Shifts in consumer behavior, supply chain struggles, and a falling stock price have all marked Jassy's first 12 months at the helm. So, what is he doing to right the ship? And how are these moves being received inside the e-commerce giant? On today's show, our Amazon reporter Dana Mattioli joins us to discuss Jassy's first year as CEO. That's after these headlines. Intel is delaying the groundbreaking ceremony for a planned multi-billion dollar chip manufacturing facility in Ohio indefinitely. In an email to lawmakers viewed by the Wall Street Journal, the company said the delay was due in part to uncertainty around legislation that would provide support for the U.S. chip industry. A spokesman for the company said Intel still plans to build the facility and hasn't pushed back the start of construction, which is expected to begin later this year. Intel has said it would invest at least $20 billion in the facility, and President Biden has pointed to it as a key indicator that the U.S. is taking a larger role in the global semiconductor industry. Facebook parent Meta has pulled out of its deal to sponsor a project marking the 250th anniversary of the U.S. Last year, Facebook signed a $10 million agreement to serve as the social media connectivity partner for the Semi-Quincentennial Commission and its affiliate America 250 Foundation. But the company has decided to cancel as the project faces internal strife and a discrimination lawsuit filed by female former executives. The social media giant has already paid the first $2 million, but said it won't be paying the remaining balance. An America 250 spokesman said the foundation remains confident it will work with Meta in the future, and that it was speaking with other companies about potential sponsorship arrangements. Toyota is recalling all of its new battery-powered SUVs because of a potential safety risk with the tires. It's a big setback for the Japanese automaker's electric vehicle plans. Toyota said the bolts that connect the wheels to the 2023 bZ4X SUV can loosen enough that the wheels can detach. The recall affects about 2,700 cars worldwide. In other EV news, Ford says it plans to build its next generation of battery-powered vehicles at its factory in Spain. The move is part of the company's efforts to prepare for a European ban on producing new gas and diesel vehicles after 2035. And Amazon is developing a feature for its virtual assistant Alexa that can mimic people's voices, whether they're living or dead. The company shared a video clip of the new feature in action at a conference earlier this week.
Alexa, can Grandma finish reading me The Wizard of Oz?
Okay. But how about my courage? Asked the lion anxiously.
You have plenty of courage.
Amazon says Alexa can mimic voices after accessing less than a minute of audio. That means with just a short recording, the virtual assistant could be speaking in the voice of a deceased loved one. Our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern says Amazon isn't the only company working on preserving a digital version of people who've passed away.
The thing about big tech companies is they haven't all been that interested in digital legacy, what happens to their users after they die, right? They are pretty focused on their active users because that's how they make money. But we've started to see that change over the last few years. We've seen Apple roll out a better or improved digital legacy product in their apps and in their systems that help people transfer their data after they die. We've seen Microsoft, we've seen Google do more in this realm, and this seems like Amazon's trying to get on that bandwagon as well.
A spokesman declined to comment on when Amazon's feature would be rolled out to consumers. All right, and speaking of Amazon, it's been dealing with a falling stock price, shrinking demand, and excess warehouse space. What's Amazon's new CEO doing to turn things around as his first year comes to a close? we'll discuss after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
July marks 1 year since Andy Jassy took over as CEO of Amazon. For Amazon insiders, he was a familiar face. He spent more than two decades there and had been running the cloud computing division Amazon Web Services, the company's cash cow. But since his promotion, it's been a bumpy ride, one that's forced him to undo some decisions made by his mentor and the company's founder, Jeff Bezos. To break down what Jassy's first year as CEO has been like and what it tells us about the e-commerce giant's future is our Amazon reporter, Dana Mattioli. Hi, Dana. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Dana, what situation did Jassy inherit when he first took over?
Andy started on July 5th, 2021, and if you remember, that was a time when people were still relying on e-commerce, and, you know, when earnings were coming in, companies like Amazon were just killing it. They were, you know, above their estimates, and Amazon actually posted record earnings. So that's sort of the Amazon he walked into taking over. But behind the scenes, things had started to change. You know, customers had become more comfortable shopping in person again. They actually liked it. It wasn't, you know, viewed as a chore. It was nice to get out and about. And all of this infrastructure that Amazon built to deal with this unprecedented demand became too much, just given the change in shopping habits.
And so how has Jassy been dealing with that change? What's he been doing to help Amazon through this shifting period?
Once he took over, it quickly became apparent that their plans for this massive build-out of more warehousing and sortation centers and logistics network was way too big. They weren't going to need all that. So quickly, they started just slashing their forecasts on that build out. And part of the plan has been to sublease all of the space that they bought, to delay building these very expensive warehouses that they don't need right now, and to stop hiring in the warehouses because they don't need quite as many people fulfilling these orders if there's fewer than they were expecting.
How did Amazon end up in this situation, kind of overestimating how much capacity it was going to need on the e-commerce side?
So back during, you know, the darkest days of the pandemic, you know, before a vaccine was like even on anyone's mind, Amazon became flooded with all these orders. At the time, Jeff Bezos was still CEO, and the company has this credo of quote unquote customer obsession. And basically that means doing whatever it takes for the customer. And I don't know if you remember this, but people were hoarding toilet paper back then and hand sanitizer. And, you know, there were shortages on the shelves because everyone was just taking whatever they can get. And Amazon was a destination for a lot of this. So they were running out of, you know, inventory. Their quick shipping of 2 days extended to like more than a month on some items. So they greenlighted this very, very aggressive plan to grow quickly to meet that demand. The problem with plans like that is that you can't just turn the switch on overnight. In order to grow to meet that demand, you have to make capital allocation decisions that take 2 years to execute. So while they committed to this spend and building out these centers and all of that March 2020, it takes 2 years for them to come online. And that's where we are now.
So all of that extra capacity is coming online now, and Jassy's saying, you know, hey, maybe we don't need it. He's looking at cuts and subleasing. How is that being read inside Amazon? What do people think of his leadership style?
I've heard that there hasn't been, you know, any disagreement between those cuts and, you know, the people that are implementing the cuts. Everyone agrees that they were a little bit too aggressive here. Where there is some daylight is Andy's management style. So he went from managing cloud computing at Amazon, which is very siloed off of the rest of Amazon and so different. You know, it's not really a consumer-facing business. It's B2B. It's very technical. It's tons of engineers. You know, the rest of Amazon is, you know, shopping, Prime, it's Alexa, it's just very different than cloud computing. And at AWS, Andy was a very, very hands-on manager in the details, in the weeds. Whereas at Amazon, you know, there are lots of senior leaders who could be CEOs of publicly traded companies on their own. That's how big their orgs are running things. And you had Jeff Bezos sort of floating above as the CEO that was not at least in recent years, very hands-on. And now that Andy's the CEO, I think part of it is any new CEO would sort of make the rounds and understand the business and ask lots of questions, but his attention to detail and his different ways of managing have rubbed some people the wrong way. And it even was part of the reason that the person in charge of all of the consumer business and logistics business decided to leave in the middle of this problem.
What about in terms of Amazon's board or its investors? What do they think of Jassy's style?
The board has really backed him. They think he's the right person to lead the company in this time. Investors have been a little bit less patient. You know, the stock is down more than 30% since Andy took over. And Wall Street's not the most patient bunch. And because Amazon employees are compensated heavily in stock, it's also an issue on that front because that's like a significant pay cut for a lot of these employees, and it could cause people to leave or become antsy. So that is something that they will have to figure out.
Do we know what his plans are to kind of move the business forward and I guess maybe step out of the shadow of Jeff Bezos a bit?
I think, you know, a lot of his time will be dedicated to growth. You know, like advertising is this really big area for them that's really high profit and it's growing really quickly. And Project Kuiper, which is small but of interest, and there's all these other areas that could become the next growth areas, but he's also having to, you know, reel in some things that aren't working. You know, physical stores was launched under Jeff Bezos, and they made a very significant cut there. They closed almost every physical store except for grocery in the last few months because it just wasn't working. So I think because Andy is new and he has this opportunity to meet with all the division heads and go over the numbers and ask all the questions, you could see some other things get cut that he doesn't deem worthy enough of keeping within the company.
All right, so some changes coming to the everything store, I guess. All right, that was our reporter, Dana Mattioli. Thanks for being here, Dana.
Thank you.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. We had editorial support from Scott Salloway. Our supervising producer is Chris Sinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.